I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Now, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Tim Dillon's podcast. In real life, I find Tim Dillon hilarious, his podcast on point every week. But I'm telling you, eventually, I see that he's going to get canceled. And when he does, I'm going to be like, Tim Dillon, never heard of him. I never said to listen to him. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to be a total Tim Dillon denier. But until then, I enjoy the heck out of it, and I'm excited that WhiskeyRiff.com transcribed something that Tim Dillon recently did on the show. Tim did, I think it was a 16-minute monologue on what being an American is to him, in the transcribed words of Tim Dillon. This is what being an American means to me. It's about finding friends that you're only friends with because they have drugs. It's about finding somebody to bang who hates you. I'm cleaning this up. Being handed things, squandering opportunities, always attacking others, blaming, never being introspective and looking down deep. Everything in life should be a spectacle. Kind of an O.J. Simpson trial. Everything from your divorce to an argumentative breakfast. But at the end of the day, Entenmann's are a good cake and everybody likes it. I do. That's what America means. That's just a small excerpt. It was amazing. Tim Dillon's podcast. You should listen to it until he gets canceled, and then I'll deny I told you to do that. From Rochester First, they caught up with Bert Kreischer. They were curious about how musicians can mix in new songs and old songs, but comedians can't really do old bits. Bert does do some older material and tries to keep it fresh. He says, I mess around inside it. Sometimes I'll tell secrets that I never really tell in the story. Look, they're the same secrets. Nothing's changed about the story, but I'll write jokes inside it. Or if I forget a joke during my set, I'll slide it in casually. And I think it brings it to life. My wife, one time, I told the story in San Francisco. I didn't even think it did that bad. But she said, hey, if you don't want to tell it, don't tell it. That's horrible. You just phoned it in. I don't remember that. But I remember that statement. So every time I tell it now, I assume we're talking about his bit, The Machine, here. I remember there are people in the room who are hearing it for the first time. There are people who brought their friends that want their friends to see it. It's what puts the roof over my head, you know, so you got to bring energy every time. They then asked him, how does he balance his personal life with his, you know, joke telling, specifically talking about his wife and daughters. And he said, don't. I messed up. I did it wrong. I never asked anyone's permission. I just told stories. And then one day I said to my daughters, I was like, hey, how do you guys feel about being in my act? And one of his daughters goes, well, it's a little late to ask us. Like, I guess I feel fine, Dad. Their only problem with it, in all honesty, anonymity is something that is super valuable, especially when you're a child. That's their biggest problem, is the anonymity, losing it at high school or grade school, or just a boy would talk to them for the wrong reason, not because he's attracted to them, but because I'm their dad. That's the thing that really bothered them, I think, and I never thought of any of that. I was like, I grew up anonymous. It sucked. Vulture had Earthquake on the Good One podcast. He talked about joke telling and said, I don't believe in elongating. I don't have fillers. My jokes are like a debate class. Just get to the subject, make the point, move on. I come up with what I want to say, and then how do I compress it into something funny and say it with as few words as possible? Coming from a big family, when you get to speak to mama, there's no, you know, I was going to go outside, and it was because then she'd say, what the F? Just, can I go outside? That's it. Don't beat around. Some comedians put a whole 30 minutes into what I compact down to two. It's more work for me, but that's why only me and Dave Chappelle came to the point where we gave you more than 36 years. They'll do an hour, but I don't need to do an hour. That's quality over quantity. You lost me there, Earthquake. Wait, so only you and Chappelle have done more than 36 years? Might be true, just because other people died. Let me do the math on Carlin in my head. 2008 minus 36. Carlin did 36 years. Who cares? Jerry Seinfeld said, Earthquake's an effing machine, the way he continues. I said, Jerry, please put that on tape. If my woman tries to leave, I can at least say, Jerry believes in me now. It comes from the innocence, the insecurity. I can't deal with the quiet. Keeps hitting you like a train. Some comedians, if you don't get on at the beginning of the show, you're not going to get any of the show. I keep mine quick, so whenever you come in, you can get on the ride. Donnell Rawlings talked about crafting his comedy. This with the Alex News. They asked, are these actual situations or can he create comedy in his head? Donnell said, no, it's real life. My stuff is like mostly observational. For me to really get into writing, I have to be around people. And you know, when you're around people, there's always the person that makes you laugh on everything. I just take my comedy from life experiences. You know, I'm not really a joke writer. It's just like I let the jokes follow me. I'll just start talking about something. And the sooner the punchlines come in, the tags, the callbacks, all that stuff will come. Christella Alonzo says she has really bad social anxiety. Crowds freak me out. When I started doing stand-up, I never thought I was going to get to the point where I actually had to perform in front of so many people. When I realized I had to perform in front of so many people, it scared the hell out of me. But despite that, I love it so much. I love the people come and see me, and I like trying to do my best for them. Joel McHale told Cheat Sheet about when he was a student and some of the struggles he had. At first, they were like, he seems really with it. But then I put a pen in his hand and forget it. He's the slowest. He'll just take forever. I was very lucky that I had good friends that supported me, and I played a lot of sports and did a lot of acting and totally avoided school. I'm super dyslexic, so I made up for everything with comedy. I remember seeing the words like through, thorough, and though, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? To this day, I have to be like, which one is it? And so, yeah, I told a lot of jokes. I had a couple of friends I was thick as thieves with. They were better students than I was. And I just thought, I got to do this until the real job police come and tick me away. He made jokes to cover the pain of being labeled. You don't realize how it affects you. And then you're like, oh, right. Because it comes back to you subconsciously. It's like, well, you're slow. You're not going to get through this. And I just remember thinking, going and acting, I was like, if I can just trick people into letting me do this, I'll be okay. Toronto Now spoke with Hannah Gatsby. They brought up comedians such as Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais and said, you obviously take a different tack. You make yourself vulnerable on stage, share very real and honest emotions and experiences and how you grapple with those. Hannah said, I think this has long been tension in comedy. There are some forms of comedy where the comedian assumes human neutrality and they're just talking to their audiences. There's an agreement on what a taboo subject is and what side of the taboo everybody lands. I guess this works back in the oldie days before the internet, before everybody had a voice. These are the sort of retrograde kinds of comedy. The age of the comedians that are doing this divisive kind of comedy is the most telling to me about this conversation. They're the most powerful because they've been around a long time and had the most opportunities and have the most social and cultural sway. But ultimately, they're not the voices of the future because they're ignoring a huge part of the change and the socio-political landscape, which is social media, which is everybody has a voice now. So they're busy on stage going, oh, people on Twitter don't like me, so I'm going to create a whole special about how I'm being attacked. It's just like, ah, you silly old men. My problem is, I was being dragged as a binary into a conversation that I didn't want to be in a binary with, me versus Dave Chappelle. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to be dragged into it by Dave Chappelle or anyone who's doing that kind of humor, because if I begin to be in opposition to them, then I have to mold the way I communicate on stage into something akin to what they do, and I'm just not interested. I just want to be in my own lane. I want to do my own thing, and I was furious at Netflix for dragging me into it, and also putting me in a position to be some kind of spokesperson. I'm not in the same pay bracket as those boys. I can't be in opposition. Then I'm sitting there for all the trolls and everybody who kept piling on. It's not what my work is about. I live in isolation. I live in my world. I don't live every minute of my day on social media. Skipping ahead a bit, a lot of these comics, they hang out with each other. They talk to each other. They blow smoke up each other's butts. It's a small community. I'm not really part of that. But I do like to throw Molotov cocktails into the group every now and then. But it has no actual bearing on my work because I'm an outsider. And that's your comedy news for today. It's July, so I'm nagging you to tell your friends about the show. Get someone else to listen to this thing. A good way to do that is go to the Apple Podcast app, grab the share show link. You got to click like the three dots. It'll be in there somewhere and put it on your social media and be like, hey, I listen to this. It's pretty cool. Check it out. I would appreciate that. And you can always follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows. And I'll see you tomorrow.